Hey guys, welcome
to part two
of our Rise of Skywalker review and discussion. Again, Steven is joining us. And finally, back, Jonathan and Daniel. How you guys
Hello.
Doing?
What's up?
Pretty good, how are you?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New
Year.
Happy
New Year, everybody.
That is right. I'm glad you guys, finally found some time to get back and talk about this, because it's the Rise of Skywalker.
There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about.
Two and a half hours to talk about.
Hey, I got nowhere to be. All right, let's jump in. This episode is going to be more just an overall discussion and review of the movie. Each of our thoughts. We'll kind of break it down and just what we thought of some of the scenes, some of the story, some of the plot lines, all of that. Why don't we just start out with the opening crawl? Why don't you go and read us the opening crawl, Jonathan?
All right, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. The dead speak. The galaxy has heard a mysterious broadcast, a threat of revenge in the sinister voice of the late Emperor Palpatine. General Leia Organa dispatches her secret agents to gather intelligence, while Rey, the last hope of the Jedi, trains for the battle against the diabolical First Order. Meanwhile, Supreme Leader Kylo Ren rages in search of the Phantom Emperor, determined to destroy any threat to his power.
I was sold on the dead speak. I was in. It seemed a little odd.
I love
at
it
because
it's kind of corny.
It was odd for
a Star
Wars
is kind of corny though. Yeah,
exactly.
They have space bears.
And as we learn,
my biggest problem with the crawl, I think, is that that whole transmission that the crawl refers to was actually in a Fortnite crossover event. You actually heard the transmission.
Really?
Oh, no,
I did not know that.
Yeah. They had, the week before, they had a whole Star Wars crossover with Star Wars skins and stuff. And at the end of it, they actually played the transmission. Epic Games actually went to J.J. Abrams and said, hey, is there anything from the movie that you're not using that we could use for this? And he said, oh, yeah, here you go. So I'm a little annoyed right off the bat that we're not actually shown the transmission. But... still a solid crawl, still a solid start, about where I'd expect all the characters to really start out with.
Was it like a hologram, like him actually speaking, or is it just like audio?
I don't know if it was a hologram. I know there's like all these Imperial destroyers that show up. I'll go find the video real quick.
That is interesting. I'll have to check that out. Why Fortnite of all, whatever. Weird.
I know, right?
Yeah,
Fortnite. I know that Fortnite's been partnering up a lot. Like, they did a while ago, they had some, like, Stormtrooper skin event where, like, you could just buy, like, Stormtrooper skins and you could, like, get the Sith Trooper skin also.
I saw they had Kylo Ren, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I think there was a Rey skin as well.
Like, they brought out the lightsabers and, like, people started, like, making memes about how, like, you could just, like, one-hit kill people with those.
Huh. Interesting.
So yeah, there's the link for that.
I'll have to check that out. I'm just gonna click it now. Click to see spoiler. Ooh, okay, I'm gonna play it.
I just, like, that's such a small thing I would love to just see in the movie. Like,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty dope. That would be pretty terrifying if I heard that.
Yeah. I would have loved to see just the characters kind of going about their day. Maybe Kylo's sitting in, like, his Vader chamber. thinking about the helmet, and then all of a sudden, and you can cut to Rey and the Resistance, like, Leia at a heads-up display, and all of a sudden Emperor Palpatine's, like, shriveled face shows up and says that.
Ooh.
And then you can just cut to the rest of the movie, but it would have been a really quick thing, and I think it would have helped a little bit more than just telling us in the crawl.
I like that. That would have been cool if, like, yeah, like, maybe just Kylo alone hears it, and then you see him, like, getting his TIE fighter, and then that's when he goes and...
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Speaking of, I'm just going to bring this up real quick. Did any of you hear about some of the deleted scene rumors?
I did, yes.
I did not. I saw you posting about it, talking about it, but I didn't really know what was going on.
Yes, so I saw a few, and this has to do with the release of the JJ cut, which we can get into at another time. But one of the opening scenes, I guess, is the whole when Kylo's finding the Wayfinder. He's on Mustafar, which we can talk about in a second. Supposedly that was a lot longer, and there's actually a point where, like, he starts becoming dizzy and disoriented,
mm-hmm.
and, like, starts hearing, like, Vader's, like, breathing or voice in his head.
Oh, my God.
And stuff. So I'm like, why would you take that out?
That is so cool.
Yeah, let's talk about that opening scene. It opens. We knew we were getting Kylo right away. And we see him just dropping people on Mustafar.
Yep.
Yeah, that was that scene that, like, I was super excited for seeing the trailer, and it's the first thing that pops up.
Yes.
Yeah, and I thought the scene was really cool. It was cool to just have some action right off the bat. I know you and Steven talked about that in the first part of our discussion. Yeah, my biggest problem with that whole scene is just that I didn't even know it was on Mustafar until after the fact. Like, there's nothing watching it that's, like...
Mustafar.
Super Mustafar-ish. Indicative of that. Like, I really think it should have been Vader's castle, and maybe that was, like, a money or a time constraint, you know.
You know, and...
But it would have been cool to see him going through Vader's castle, and maybe the Wayfinder's, like, hidden in his grandfather's, like, throne chamber or something, and he knows that it's there.
Right.
And, like, moves a stone aside, and there it is, you know.
I would have been perfectly content with just a wide shot.
Yeah, and that would have been fine, too.
And you see it, or, you know, it's in ruins, they said. So, just that. Like, I would have been perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was in any original, like, scenes or anything that was cut, or even...
I just don't know why you'd cut that. I mean, I know it's such a big movie, and there's so much going on, but, like, why cut that, you know?
Right? It's funny, when I first saw this scene... My mind immediately went to the trailer, right? Because that's when we saw it, like Daniel said.
Right.
And right when I saw it, I'm like, oh. So I know nothing of this movie because this, like, the one of the bigger scenes in the trailer is already happening. So I'm like, I'm like, okay, I know nothing about what is about to happen at all.
Yep.
Because I think the trailer built it up to, like, that was going to be, like, a whole battle, not just, like...
The first scene.
Right. Like the First Order fighting the Resistance or something on the ground. Right after that, we go to Kylo confronting the, we now know, revived Emperor Palpatine. I love this whole opening scene.
Can we back up for just a second?
Sure. Because
there's a few little things that happen between here and there.
Okay.
I thought it was really cool seeing Kylo's new, slightly different ship design. I really like that. Seeing him jump out of hyperspace in 3D opening night was really neat.
Dude, that was just...
Yeah, that
was... Exegol is such, like, a really cool-looking planet, and just kind of going back to what you were just saying, Tyler, like, immediately after he lands, you get that shot of him activating his lightsaber, and I figured that would be a more important thing from the trailers, and there we go, a minute in, that's happened as well.
I got the vibe that this was going to be super important, too, because it's like, why is he just getting out of a ship and igniting his lightsaber? Like, what is in front of him?
He's ready
that I don't
to go.
See? Right?
He's ready to go.
So we get the Emperor voiceover while Kylo's going in. He's talking to Kylo. He knows he's there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I love that whole thing. I love the feel, the horror aspect. It was great.
It definitely gave, like, a really dark vibe. I mean, I was expecting a dark vibe, but not, like, I don't know, weird genetic abominations and vials and, like...
Of Snokes. I mean...
Yeah.
What did you all think of that? Because that was... Personally, I kind of liked it. But kind of takes away from, like, The Last Jedi.
I think it definitely takes away from The Last Jedi. It's just saying, like, oh, that movie didn't matter. Look, here's three Snokes in a tank.
This guy doesn't matter, yeah. And even from, like, an expanded universe, not a Legends, mind you, but, like, an expanded universe thing, they've got the whole Kylo Ren comic running right now, and Snoke's a big part of that. So it's like, if you're just going to have him be, like, this clone thing Palpatine made and possessed, like, what's the point of writing up a whole backstory? What was the point of him being there in the first place? Shouldn't it have just been Palpatine from the beginning if that was the issue? Like,
is he possessed by Palpatine, or does he have his own thought process?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't read the comic. I've seen a couple panels from it, and it's like, it's right after the temple purge, like right after Luke tries to kill Ben, and then Ben burns the temple down, and then Snoke mm-hmm. is like the first person he goes to see. And Snoke's just like, apparently Snoke's a gardener. Like, he's chilling mm-hmm. in a garden. And Ben's like, I didn't know where else to go. And Snoke, like, gives him a hug, which is kind of creepy. And he's like, you did well to come to me, my boy.
So you're telling me that...
all gardeners are evil.
You're telling me that Thanos snaps, goes and lives in a garden, has no nutrients or things to eat, so loses so much weight, and then instead of the Avengers coming back, this boy comes, and then they just go off and do their own thing? That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, that would be good. But yeah, I like that there was an explanation. I really do, because I wasn't super optimistic about getting anything about Snoke beyond the whole, like, I am every voice in your headline. So it was cool that they were like, they gave a more definite answer to where he came from, but like, I still just feel like, what was the point of the character?
Yeah. I was satisfied with the explanation, but why not just make an army of Snokes?
Yeah.
Just take over the galaxy.
Or an army of Palpatines, for that matter.
Right? I don't get it.
I guess if anything, I can, like, you think about, like, the rule of two and how the whole time in, you know, in the prequels and everything, he was just kind of grooming Anakin to be his Padawan eventually, or to be his apprentice. I guess you can think if he might have just made Snoke just to, again, be another pawn for himself. I was still, like, also, I felt a little let down by how little they explained who he was and what he did, but
right.
I can see, you know, how that whole, like, he just made him just because he was going to get to Ben, and through Ben, he was going to get to another Skywalker in that sense.
And eventually another Palpatine, because that was the whole point.
That's where I get a little confused, because if there can only be two, then how would he have gotten both of them?
I don't think that Ed Palpatine has ever cared about the rule of two. Like, I think if you're looking at Sith philosophy and specifically about the rule of two, it was a way for the Sith to keep themselves strong and advance the whole idea of eventually defeating the Jedi. I think as far as Palpatine was concerned, he did that. He was the one that finished the mission, and so what does it matter if he's got one apprentice or 16, you know?
Uh-huh.
Palpatine doesn't strike me a guy that's, like, super concerned with tradition in that sense.
Palps does what he wants. When he wants. Exegol, that was cool. Just the planet. I think you said it looked really cool. Is this, like, a Sith temple or something? Or, I know it's in the unknown regions, but I don't know, there's a lot of statues of Palpatine.
I get the vibe that Palpatine built it.
Okay.
Or maybe, obviously, not him himself, but, you know, little minions were putting it together. I think that they put it there, I would have to assume. Unless he found somebody and, like, found this civilization and just took it over. That's the other possibility, I think.
Yeah, I was reading. That's all those were in the crowd.
Little Sith characters.
That's why they wear the hoods, the little hood things. I was reading a thing that all those people, like, in the crowd were, like, Palpatine loyalists.
They're Sith acolytes.
I was wondering.
Yeah, yep. and I guess they've been infiltrating, like, the government and everything over the galaxy, mm-hmm. which is one of the big reasons, like, there was always infighting and nothing could come to an agreement in the New Republic.
Was that, did you get that from the visual dictionary?
Yeah, I was reading about it. I think, like I said,
we gotta buy that.
We do, I agree. I completely agree.
There's a lot there.
So, directly after that, we jump to Finn and Poe on the Falcon along with Chewbacca, and they're playing a little bit of holochess. I like that little moment. That was a nice little like breather moment from that dark, heavy stuff for a second. I just like the dynamic on the Falcon, and then they go in and they are intercepting secrets from a First Order spy. Now, we don't know who the First Order spy is yet, but I thought that was pretty interesting. But then you see this just sea of TIE fighters coming at them, which the way it's cut in the movie, it seems like it takes the TIE fighters a really, really long time to get there.
Agreed.
But Star Wars works in a way that time is only relevant to the way it was written and the plot.
Yep.
Little side note, what did you think of, you know, having watched the last episode of Mando and then you got to see that little, basically that scene? How did you feel about that?
What do you mean?
Since you'd already gotten to watch it, where the whole TIE fighters come out and they're about to trade the secret. You remember the end of Mando, the last episode, basically?
Episode 8?
Yeah.
The season finale?
Part did you watch?
Yeah, did you watch after credits, basically?
Oh, the one right before. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
So,
oh, man.
I waited, and then I saw that it was an actual scene. Like, you know, it was the dialogue, and I said, this is too much. So, this is too much.
Well, actually, Jonathan mentioned, you know, wasn't there also another scene in Fortnite that they showed off?
Mm-hmm.
What scene was it? I forgot, though. I saw the video.
I don't remember.
They showed a lot. I feel like there was a lot going on. That's why I was asking, like, if you saw the after credits for Mando, like, you'd already seen that scene where all the TIE fighters come out and then Finn starts doing a shooting thing, takes out the bridge. I felt like it was cool, but if I wouldn't have seen it beforehand, I would have felt like, oh, wow, you know, Finn's getting good at shooting stuff down finally.
Yeah. I don't know that it made too much of a difference, in my opinion.
Really,
seeing it versus not seeing it. Considering it was, like, the day before we saw Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Just my mind goes to, like, you never know. I've gone too long. It's not going to be the night before.
Steven, I wanted to look it up because I was very questioning of it. Exegol was actually, like, the temple there was actually built by the ancient Sith thousands of years before the present, according to the Rise of Skywalker visual dictionary.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it says it was one of the oldest Sith bastions, so it's like a secret fortress world of the Sith for thousands of years.
That is much cooler than what I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it's really neat that it's actually got a history.
And it's super hard to find, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's super cool. So what did you guys think of, this is actually one of my more favorite scenes of the movie, the lightspeed skipping.
I liked it a lot from, like, a visual standpoint. It was really cool. It wasn't something I was expecting.
Yeah, same.
It was really neat to see. Totally, depending on how much you care about, like, in-universe rules, totally breaks so many in-universe rules. You hear people complain about Han Solo making hyperspace jumped, like, to the atmosphere of Starkiller Base in Episode 7. This breaks so many more rules than that does, but... But it's really cool, so I mean, I'll give it a pass. It was a neat scene, I think.
I agree, because I was thinking about the scene earlier today, actually, and I said, that scene alone just totally kills any who's a better pilot, Poe or Han Solo. Like, just that scene totally gives the whole title to Poe, completely.
I don't agree with that. I think it definitely gives Poe, who's the crazier pilot.
Poe is, like, one hell of a pilot. Did you not hear? Would you not watch?
Yeah,
the
no,
Force
I
Awakens?
Heard it. It's just doing that is like asking. It's a suicide maneuver, basically.
I like how the.
I mean, the TIE fighters did do it as well, though, which is kind of crazy thinking about those pilots. Like, what were they thinking? Like,
right?
Yeah, let's just start light skipping too.
And were they using the...
Well, and it makes me wonder if the hyperspace tracking tech has been miniatured from Episode 8. Because how else are they going to know where they're jumping to?
And only a handful of those TIE fighters jumped. Not all of them. Because not all TIE fighters have the hyper drives.
I would not have followed, for sure.
Clearly, it wasn't worth it.
I like how, you know, Poe's light speed skipping. But he's just doing it to get away. But these pilots that are chasing them basically outmaneuver whatever's coming. I mean, some of them obviously ran into stuff, but I think it's because they have to set the tracker and then follow him and then look at where they end up and then light speed there and then keep maneuvering and then dodge and then keep firing, and that's obviously why so many of them died. But I like how they kept that kind of realistic.
Definitely, like Jonathan said, visually I think it was awesome. Poe being oh, we're gonna see how this goes, basically. You know, how thick do you, every time he says, both times I saw it, he goes, how thick do you think that ice wall is? And I'm just so he's just gonna kill him, before anyone can answer if it's too thick. And the whole, the message was that there was a spy in the First Order, right?
Yeah, and there were, well, the spy was basically smuggling them the Emperor Palpatine transmission.
Okay. That makes
that
a little
was
more
the whole
sense.
Thing. Yeah,
because I was gonna say, why didn't that one guy just say there's a spy in the First Order? Okay,
yeah.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah. Yep.
We cut over to Rey doing some Jedi training.
Becoming the Avatar, I think you mean. That was cool to see.
Didn't even make that connection till just now.
Yep. Instantly, when I saw them rotating, all those rocks rotating around her, that was the first thing I thought.
Yeah. That's awesome. They could use his help.
Yeah, they could.
Crossover.
But when the galaxy needed him most, he vanished.
That is what
kind of like Luke Skywalker.
Exactly.
Too soon.
It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Steven.
I really liked the little Poe and Rey interaction in conversation when they got back to the Resistance base. There's a nice little banter. Obviously,
yeah.
they've known each other. You know, they've gotten to know each other. The way they had that interaction, I was almost are they together? That's the vibe I got at first.
I it was interesting seeing the time jump because this is the second scene in all three movies we've seen them together in.
Yeah.
She meets him at the end of The Last Jedi and shakes his hand and introduces herself. And then this is the next one. So, I think it's cool seeing it. Again, most of my problems with this movie kind of just come from how disjointed this trilogy has been. Not necessarily this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool having, some bickering. It wasn't just, oh, yeah, you did it, yay. And Poe's just yeah, we did it, yay. It was you messed up my ship. You messed up my droid. You know? It was cool to see
the
that.
The Falcon's
dialogue.
On fire. Obviously, yeah. BB-8's not on fire.
Yeah.
It was just a good little conversation.
Yeah.
The humor in this movie felt a lot more natural than The Last Jedi.
I think so too.
I don't know, it had its place. It wasn't overbearing. It was broken up real nice, whereas The Last Jedi felt like they were throwing comedy at you because it was a heavier movie, but it was I'm not ready for that joke. That's not funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can describe it.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, there were some parts that were less forced, and then when Rey and Poe were talking, I felt like we got to see Oscar Isaac being a little bit more talented, and Daisy Ridley being a little bit more talented, and being able to show what they're actually feeling.
I totally 100% agree.
Now here's a question, because I think we kind of skipped over it a little bit when we were talking about Rey and her meditative state, but she goes on her whole training run. And it's revealed that Leia has been training her. She calls her Master Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going through this training run, and as she's doing this and deflecting shots from the blaster remote, that's interspersed with shots of Kylo touching the Vader helmet.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
It's kind of a weird scene because most of the other moments like that make it pretty clear that they're linked, but it kind of feels like that scene is leading you towards the idea that he's trying to mess with her or communicate with her in some way.
Yes, I got that same vibe. I got that same vibe.
But it just felt weird because every other time that happens in this movie, it's blatant and obvious.
I didn't get that feeling until they arrived on, I forget, Zori Bliss's planet.
Jamie?
Yeah, I didn't get that vibe that he was purposefully trying to do it until there.
It was
trying to find out where she was. But at the same time, he was just kind of I'm here.
It was just weird for his, if he wasn't trying to communicate with her, it was just weird to see shots of him interspersed in that scene.
I think
I felt like it was coming from her connection to him, his connection to his new master, technically, Palpatine, but at the same time, all their connection to Vader. And, like, that, like, he might not have been trying to do it, been doing that there, but because they're so connected, like, it just happened to ruin her training session.
Makes sense.
It's funny how you can view that scene in so many different ways, because the way I kind of view it is they're connected, obviously, but almost that they're doing two separate different things, like, because it comes off that he's messing with her, but she doesn't give off any indication that she realizes it's him. So it, mm-hmm. it almost comes off, like, when you kind of deep or, like, dive into it a little bit, is you can almost look at it from a different perspective where they're doing this at the same time, and maybe the dark side is calling to her, and that's why she's getting distracted while he's over here trying to connect with the dark side. Because I've always viewed him and Vader's helmet relationship as he needs it as a reminder and as a motivation to stay on the dark side. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to word that, but...
Yeah, it's just, it is kind of weird that you can take that scene in so many different ways. I agree.
Where's my visual dictionary to confirm what that scene meant?
Hey guys, it's Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. Spectre 6, out!
Okay, so we get to see, they all figure out, oh my god, Palpatine's on this planet, Exegol, what are we going to do? We've never heard of it. It's not on any star system. And Rey's like, yo, I know what it is. I just read that chapter, you know. Just did my lesson plan on that.
Well, she asked to see Leia alone. That's the thing.
That was a little weird.
But I understand not wanting to panic the troops either. Because, like, if someone's like, oh, how do we even find him? We don't know where this place is. And she's like, I know where this place is, but it's really hard to get to and really scary. I'm not going to just tell some rank and file resistance dude that it's a death mission. Like,
it's really
scary.
That's
really bad for morale. I'm going to go talk to my master about it first.
I feel like she announces it in front of everybody, like, yo, Leia, this is cool we're talking about. Can I see you alone for a minute over here? Like, that's sketchy.
I don't know. They know she's like a Jedi, so they probably just assume that she's weird, right? So they
probably don't think, go back to your drinks. This is Jedi business.
Like, hey, I'm gonna, like, oh, the space wizard is asking the other space wizard if they can go talk in private. It's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I'll think about it like that from now on. I like that. I like it that way.
We do, right? Because of, like in Mandalorian, when they're talking about the Force, it's like this thing that one person out of 10 have heard of, and it's like, I don't know.
It is it's neat. Not like in the Mandalorian, seeing how, like, the Force really is, not a lot of people believe it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Resistance believes it, especially a bunch of them, surely having seen Leia fly through space. I mean, I can't imagine there wasn't just some random trooper who didn't come across Rey in the forest while she was meditating with rocks. Like,
Oh, she's doing that weird thing again.
Is that weird girl?
She's like, slowly back away.
She's like, oh, that's the weird girl. Don't invite her.
Steven said that, and I'm thinking of, like, when those troopers hear, like, Kylo freaking out, and they just, like, back up and start walking the other way.
There she is. Let's go.
Just turn around, go around the other tree.
I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, I believe the next we jump back to Kylo getting his mask glued back together with some Gorilla Glue, and I mean that in a literal sense in this scene.
Dude, what was with him just, like, staring at the dude as he fixed it? He couldn't, like, have it sent out, and then, like...
They were all there.
I've gotta like find it. There was some interesting detail about that.
Maybe this is what you're gonna bring up, Jonathan. But the method they used to put his mask back together is actually a real thing in the Japanese culture, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm gonna butcher.
There's
the
actually
name.
More I was gonna talk about in universe, but yeah, you're right.
It's I forget. I'm not gonna say the name because I'm gonna butcher it. But it's actual. They'll take like china and glassware and like. Decor, and they'll put it back together once it breaks with this, like, gold residue, and you can see the cracks just like in his helmet, but it's on Earth it's gold instead of red, And it's actually very cherished because it shows the flaw in whatever it is they have put back together, and it's supposed to make it, give it that much more, you know, value or character. And so I thought
somewhere, I just never made the connection between the two, but that's actually really cool. And besides, you know, the red makes him look like even more menacing.
It does. Yeah. Is it me, or are there parts where like it looks like it's almost glowing?
Yeah, I'm still trying to look up what I was trying to find, but
I think it does.
The weird gorilla guy who's like putting his mask back together.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a Sith acolyte. This was in the visual dictionary as well. Oh. He's actually a Sith acolyte, and he's using Sith alchemy to reforge the helmet. So the helmet's literally infused with the dark side of the Force.
Ooh.
Are you saying he was in the crowd too, probably?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he was one of those people.
That's actually really cool from the standpoint that literally in the scene before, Dominic Monaghan was saying how, like, you know, dark magic and stuff like that. And then we jump to a scene where they're literally using, like, dark science to...
Yeah.
Put this mask back together.
Dominic Monaghan was really underplayed in this movie. I was a little upset by that.
I agree, but his lines that he did deliver, I was happy with. Like, I felt like he was there just enough that he was important. Because his backstory is in the visual dictionary. He's like a scientist or something. And he realizes that he needs to jump in on this fight in order to... Because I think he lived on the Hosnian Prime. And he was off-world, and then when they got blown up, he realized he needed to put his time and efforts into, like, stopping the First Order.
Still, I wanted to see him, like, hold a lightsaber, become... No, I'm just kidding. Anything else, like, just see him a little bit more would have been fun.
I can't find it, but that guy actually has a name. But yeah, he's using Sith alchemy to restore the helmet, which is really neat.
Huh, I like that. Makes that scene that much better.
But yeah, so the Knights of Ren also make their first appearance in the scene, which are one of my most disappointing points of the movie.
Do we want to talk about the Knights of Ren as a whole right now, or do we want to kind of just bring them up as we go along? What do you guys want
to
do?
We can just bring them up as they go around along, but I mean,
I'm sure
it doesn't
least...
change. I mean, they're standing around doing nothing, which is what they continue to do for the most part.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I know we're going to complain about them as we go on in this.
Yeah.
So I mean, okay,
right.
Cool.
But yeah, that's how I feel about their first appearance, so.
I will say this. I would rather have watched them do nothing in this movie and complain that they suck rather than not have them.
Oh, I agree.
I would have been way more upset.
Yeah, it's like, if them not being there was the worst, then this is probably just the second worst. But I guess it's better than the worst.
But at least we see them.
Yeah.
I like their little boy band scene when they're on Pisana. That's a cool shot. Their Avengers Assemble shot. That was kind of cool.
Superhero
and his friends? Question mark.
And his underlings? Question mark.
Did we predict that they were gonna like pop up in Last Jedi when we had that scene of Kylo walking in to the emptied out base since they ran out the back, like with the flame troopers or not the flame troopers, the snow troopers.
I don't remember
on Crait.
Yeah, on Crait.
I don't remember that conversation, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I just really feel like the Knights of Ren should have been the Praetorian Guards in 8, and that would have just solved both problems.
I agree.
That would have been better.
Because, you know what? The Praetorian Guards are much more menacing.
Moving on from the Knights of Ren and our complaints about them.
But not, because we'll come back to you guys.
Are more menacing?
Yeah. What?
Tyler, did you say the Praetorian Guards are more menacing?
They did way more. I mean, they got all slaughtered, but they got slaughtered a lot slower than the Knights of Ren did later on.
I mean,
yeah,
they put up more of a fight. Okay, I'm gonna put this into perspective. The Praetorian Guards looked cooler while fighting two people with lightsabers, while the Knights of Ren fought one person without a lightsaber.
With a lightsaber.
Later, but at first it was just Kylo without a lightsaber.
Right. They kind of beat the crap out of him, though.
Yeah, but, like, why didn't they just kill him?
What if the Knights of Ren went up against, like, 10 dudes with blasters? They would just lose, right? They'd just all get shot.
I would think so, right?
They have, like, medieval weapons.
Like, again, like, what was Chewbacca doing? He could have taken them They came up from behind. Packs a kick.
Well, there were stormtroopers with Chewbacca.
The stormtroopers would have done more than the knights.
So are we assuming that the stormtroopers are the ones that captured Chewbacca then and not the Knights of Ren?
I mean, I am.
The Knights of Ren are just like politicians in fancy clothes, most likely.
Yeah.
They're like, we want to do something cool. All right, well, put on your costume.
They're probably just like Kylo's fan club, and they're not actually effective at anything, but he feels bad for him, so he lets him come along on missions.
The Knights of Ren are actually the highest Patreon supporters, and that's what
that's
what that tier is.
Thank you for all your support. You'll be coming with me on my next combat mission.
$500 a month will get you your own unique costume, medieval weapon, and a free ride along on my missions.
You get to see my helmet being put back together.
They had to pay for it.
Honestly, that makes way more sense than what we got.
I agree. 100%.
They're all standing around and watching it. Like, them having paid to be there makes more sense than them just standing there watching it.
Well, when we get to Kijimi, they have that scene where, like, you see the Poe and all them go, like, walk by, and then you see them come out of the tunnel. It's like, that was just really good timing on them coming out of the tunnel. They weren't watching them, clearly. There was no way they could have seen them around that corner.
Nope.
Like, they weren't, like, tracked. I thought, I was under the impression that they had specifically tracked them down to there. And that they were, like, they knew exactly where they were, like, with Babu Frick and everybody.
Then why didn't they just take them?
On Kijimi?
There's no way. Yeah. They're really bad at their job.
How, like, either place the tracker or that they were that good that they could just track them down exactly to where they were and then they called in the rest of the
game. I think it was. I'm more inclined to believe that it was a tracker than them being good at their jobs at this point.
Interesting.
That's the thing, though. If I take that standpoint, then they really were useless for the whole movie.
They were 100%.
If I believe that they successfully captured Chewbacca, put him in handcuffs, and then immediately delivered him to stormtroopers.
No. The stormtroopers captured. If anything, one of the Knights of Ren saw him, went back, told the troop leader, and was like, hey, there's a Wookiee over there. And they're like, you guys just stand over here and keep looking cool. We'll go get him.
If you have a legitimate argument or, like, reason what they did, I will gladly listen. But.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
They were just there because they were mentioned in other movies, and
didn't they pull a Kenobi just by parking on an asteroid?
Waited. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the only smart thing they did. They were just
that's
like.
What gave me that.
They were just like, "Oh, dude, let's just wait here for them."
I got the feeling that they'd put like a tracker on somebody somehow. I don't know.
I think they just followed them.
Maybe I think so too.
Into Chewie's fur or something when they
right.
I don't know. I got the feeling that they were underplayed and they could have done a lot more, but like I had to convince myself that they did some things in the movie.
So then we get the whole scene where Kylo's talking to his admirals and generals and stuff.
I like that scene.
I do too. Actually,
it made me feel like he was the grown up in the room.
Right?
Him and Admiral Pride were the only two grown-ups in that room, it felt like.
Going back and watching that scene a second time, it was so obvious that Hux was the spy.
It's just like, he's like, Kylo's just like, he mentioned something about his mask, and Kylo's like, what about my fucking mask? Like,
he goes, I sense a great deal of uneasiness or something, General Hux. Yeah. And I got the vibe the first time watching it that he was talking about the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was specifically just talking to Hux.
No, he's just talking about Hux,
I don't know, it was just so obvious in that scene the second time around.
Yeah, I love it.
It was really cool to see Kylo once again take force choking to the next level, glue someone to the ceiling while they're choking.
I love that he keeps talking during it.
Yeah, he's just like
I'm not even acknowledging what I'm doing right.
Yep.
Yeah, very similar to the blaster fire. It's cool. I didn't think about it till now, but how powerful he is when JJ's directing a movie versus Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Because you see him do all sorts of cool stuff when JJ's in charge. And then, I mean, I think some of his best as a character, I really liked it in The Last Jedi, but like you didn't really see him do much.
Yeah.
I was going to say you didn't see him, like, taking a bowcaster bolt and then punching himself back to health.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like Ryan was more concerned with where Kylo was going emotionally and where he was at mentally, whereas JJ's like, look at this sweet dude and all the stuff he can do. Like,
if you watch Kylo in The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker, he's very torn, right? The whole movie. Clearly, he doesn't, you know, doesn't kill Rey in this whole movie. Like, he's just torn. But in The Last Jedi, he's torn, but then there's just, like, this flip that switched at the end, and he just goes, like, because I know you and I had talked about it. We were like, there's no way he turns now. He completely lost it.
Right.
And I feel like we go from this, like, he completely lost it. A year goes by. I know that's a long time, but it's, oh, he's back to just being, like, torn. Like, I don't, there's a little inconsistency there from my perspective.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. And I could say, I think that's kind of my opinion about this whole trilogy, just inconsistency.
Yeah, I agree. I think Last Jedi was trying to get to a point where, like, okay, Kylo is not going back to the light side. He's going to be our bad guy for the rest of the series. JJ got back on and was like, oh wait, no, I wanted Palpatine.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know if anyone caught it, but before the movie came out, I know, like, they put out something about how Kathleen Kennedy was like, there's not going to be any more trilogies. We don't want to limit the direction of a movie to a three-piece epic or a three-part story.
Right.
And she happened to say that just before it came out. So I get the feeling she already knew that the story was, like Jonathan said, like, I like the word that he uses a lot, disjointed. Like, it just seems like one person was totally like, oh, this is going to happen. And then in the middle of the movie, there's like this just big gap that, like, something totally different was planned. And I know that, like, when J.J. Abrams was brought back, they were like, yeah, the vision that Ryan had and that I had is still the same as before, but, like, we saw the last movie. You can obviously tell
it's not.
not the same vision that
BS.
Everyone had planned. So, I get the feeling that even Kathleen Kennedy knew that this was going to be either a flop or people were going to she knew people were going to complain, but, like, maybe she already knew why it was complained about.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they really did have the same vision, then they did a really poor job of showing that and making it consistent.
It feels like it's two people who have one conversation one time, like a vague conversation about where they want to go, and then they go off and do their own interpretations of that vision, and then anytime anyone asks it, they're like, oh yeah, we totally talked about it, like, we're on the same page. Like,
it's like you and your partner wrote two halves to say, and you wrote different essays, and your teacher's like, you guys wrote the same thing, right? And you're like, oh yeah, totally, but you didn't actually read it.
Right.
You just turned it in and assumed.
Yep.
The first half is the War of 1812, and then the second half is Backstreet Boys and their effect on the economy.
That's funny. Okay, so Passana?
C-3PO.
I've got a lot of C-3PO feels because of this movie, which was one of the big surprises for me personally.
I like that name. Passana.
It's Star Wars Burning Man.
It's
what it is.
With ugly babies and weird looking creatures.
Not okay.
What's
and of course that's the place
I actually liked those babies. Those were kind of cool because they were like mini elephants.
But after Baby Yoda, like, any other baby is just stupid.
Whoa.
Yeah, I agree.
One-sided much?
One-sided? Nah. I'm sorry, my son's gonna be wrong.
I just feel like you don't like Baby Yoda enough, Daniel.
I heard
baby elephants are cooler than Baby Yoda.
I'm committing to the 20-inch pop Baby Yoda, the life-size Baby Yoda, or whichever that one.
All right.
So
I don't, it's signed by Frank Oz, and maybe you can come back to this podcast.
I think so. Like random thing I'd mention. I saw that scene where, like, Rey looked at, like, all the, like, the little kids are, like, laughing at whatever story is going on. And I just felt like, I felt so much joy, and I was just like, man, this movie's fun, and, like, I'm just enjoying life, and I'm happy. I don't know. I was just, like, I was filled with such joy just watching all these kids be happy when they were like eventually probably going to be killed by Kylo in like 20 minutes from now.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about C-3PO? Because I've got a lot to talk about C-3PO.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
I think that C-3PO was probably the best character in this movie, in my opinion. He's incredible. He's finally funny. He's finally, like, the other movies, I was like, oh, okay, C-3PO. Like, you go and watch A New Hope, C-3PO is just like a drama queen. Like, he's just like, it seems we were made to suffer. Like, but in this movie, like, he says similar things, but it's done just so well that I'm actually find myself laughing at C-3PO.
Is it like they mess with his sassy setting and they just turn it up like the knob just a teeny tiny bit?
Yeah, it's so good.
Sassier.
It's so good.
Like, why did it take this long?
I don't know. I mean, he's barely been in this trilogy as it is, so maybe that was it, but...
Well, you didn't recognize him because of the red arm.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Had he been... Yeah, of course it was. I wish JJ would have just directed him for the last... all of the movies. Because had he been like this every other movie, he'd probably be the best character ever.
He would. 100%. 100%. Like... I love just the touching moment near the beginning where he's talking to R2 and he tells him that he's his best friend. Oh, like,
yeah.
I don't get C-3PO feels, but I have C-3PO feels.
A little bit.
Yeah, the tears were flowing.
These guys have been together for like over 40 years and seen all this stuff. Like,
oh my god,
man.
It was...
This should have just been called the Droid Saga.
It would have been better than what we got.
Ooh, I can feel the salt.
The like shade.
Crate.
So
much salt.
Someone crady?
We're not going to start that.
Yeah, let's not.
It's not going to be a thing that we're doing.
Is Daniel telling me not to start?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah,
it's not. We've entered the negative zone.
I've learned that this movie is a movie of hope. Daniel can stop telling puns first. Kylo can be redeemed. C-3PO is actually a good character. It's just... It's hope.
I think it's just we weren't as annoyed by C-3PO in this movie. Like, yeah, there was like...
At least at this point, yeah, but like later on, and we'll talk about the stuff on Kijimi in a minute here, but like... He goes from just being like, C-3PO's tolerable and he had a cool moment to like being legitimately funny.
Yeah, like when he he's talking about
that
the
turn.
Yeah, that's just exactly.
Where he looks behind him like nobody's talking to him.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're not talking to me, right?
He's what are we looking at?
Or when they fall down the little sand cave and he's just like, not that you asked, Mr. Poe, but I am all right.
I didn't hear you say my name.
Yeah, that's what he says. Like, oh my goodness.
That was so funny.
I get the feeling that he becomes more choppery, so you guys like him. Because Chopper is already just like...
I don't like Chopper.
Okay, sorry. Tyler, who loves Chopper.
He does.
Steven, I don't know how you felt about Chopper, actually, in general.
I love all things Rebels.
I bet Chopper can use the Force.
Anyway, let's get back on track.
Let's get back to Passana. Passana.
Wait, Passana.
Yeah, someone...
Kylo Ren grabs Rey's light necklace. So we get our first real Kylo Rey link moment. And she'd just been given a necklace by one of the elephant children that Daniel loves so much.
Dude, I love those freaking elephant Passanans?
I don't know.
Passanians?
Yeah, like water.
Passanos?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, like the last time we saw like the connection was like his hands got wet, and then like they almost had like the handshake or the hand.
Yeah, and it was. It was a thing in The Last Jedi, but it was very subdued compared to this.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of pretty shocked the first time I saw it. Like, oh, he can just, like...
Couldn't he have just... That, I mean, that's a pretty good inclination that he could have just grabbed her and ended up in the same spot.
I don't think he could have grabbed her, because if he would have been able to grab her, he probably would have pulled her out of the Palpatine throne room at the end of the game.
I think he would have ended up where she was, had he, like, grabbed her.
But, I mean, at any given point in this movie, he could have grabbed her lightsaber.
Huh.
And then she just doesn't have a lightsaber, like...
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I would have done if I were Kylo Ren.
Well, only when they're force connecting, though. They don't force connect again until she's in his quarters. But that was a cool part.
Yeah, I thought... I like the whole premise of them being able to move things through the force.
I think it definitely builds up, like, we needed to see that to know, you know, the last scene where he grabs the lightsaber.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was definitely a good piece to have to make sure that we knew that that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
They go to find the ship. They fall in the quicksand. Rey force heals the serpent. We get more funny C-3PO moments.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yep. I thought it was really interesting with some of the things that we saw later on. I don't remember his name because they only say it like once or twice. But the guy that they're trying to track down, who is actually...
Yeah.
He's a Jedi hunter. It's really interesting that he just gets like killed by a random snake in the desert of Bassana. Like,
That's true.
Like, he's the guy that killed Rey's parents.
I didn't really stop to think about that.
Yeah.
He just got killed by a snake, pretty much.
Who like sent him out? I think I can't remember. Who is he like hired by?
Palpatine.
Palpatine.
Palpatine. Yeah.
So why was he looking for the Wayfinder? Because he was, right? He had the dagger.
Yeah, he had the dagger. He was looking for the Wayfinder. I think it was one of those things where he'd never met Palpatine in person, but like he was working for Palpatine.
He was probably an acolyte.
Like a bounty hunter?
Yeah, I mean, he's been called a Jedi killer, though, so...
I mean, anyone who... came like up to a path. Technically, Anakin is a Jedi killer.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if maybe he was tasked with hunting down some of Luke's other former students, because that never came up again.
Okay.
And we know that there were some that survived his temple being destroyed.
True.
I wonder if he was the guy that Snoke hired to like clean up the mess. Because Snoke was being controlled by Palpatine, maybe Palpatine was like, you need to go out and find this person. And maybe he was out in the desert because he was looking for the Wayfinder because he knew that he needed it if he was ever going to... Like, once he found Rey, he would need it to get her to Palpatine.
If Palpatine's plan was to bring Rey to him, why wouldn't he just give that guy the directions right off the bat?
Because he didn't have it yet.
It's a little weird. And I also don't think he got killed by the snake.
No?
I think he just starved and couldn't get out.
I got that vibe a little bit.
Because they were just like, oh, you can't get out of here. But, I mean, I guess the snake did block the way out. So I don't know. That part is weird.
Can I mention that I was surprised, excited, confused, all of those, anything that you can feel. That, like, we saw force healing in basically the last episode of Mando that had happened before that.
Yeah.
And then the very next Star Wars.
Well, the second to last episode.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
episode 7.
And then, like, right after, we see Force Healing, like, just casually brought up. And, like, I think about
it was definitely not
how there's all these, like, like, Rebels and Clone Wars, like, there's a lot of stuff that it took them forever to, like, even mention it or have it in the movies. And then, like, immediately in Mando, we have a connection.
Well, I was reading something that it was done in the Clone Wars, actually. When the sister heals the brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was, actually.
Sister? The Night Sisters?
No, on Mortis.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, that does happen.
I have it pulled up right now.
Which, time for a plug, February 17th is when Season 7 of the Clone Wars will appear.
Yeah.
Tyler, Disney we don't Plus? Do plugs without getting paid.
Oh, sorry.
We talked about this.
Sorry, I
We've
didn't mean to
about
plug
this.
A
where,
show that
our
show our
is
about.
Where is our Disney money?
Waiting for that cease and desist to frame on my wall.
Yep.
Which, by the way, guys, there was music on our last podcast that don't know if you heard the new music. I know Jonathan probably did because he sounded like he listened to it. Did you like that? I loved it.
I did. I thought it was a good touch, yeah.
I emailed the composer of that, and he's like, yeah, go ahead, use it. So,
nice.
I said, thank you. So I think I'm going to stick with that for a little while, see what other stuff he's got going on, because I like it. And if you like that intro and this episode's intro, link to his YouTube stuff is in the description for this podcast.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I know.
So they get back to the ship. Ray force heals the snake.
Yep.
Ray starts acting all weird. And then Chewie goes to check on her, which when Chewie gets kidnapped, did he not just like roar and like she not hear it?
Probably. I mean, she's kind of, it seems like she's fully immersing herself in the Force, like trying to sense when Kylo's going to be there, what's coming, what she has to do.
She goes full on like Paranormal Activity in that movie.
It's weird. That whole scene is just really weird, too. The first time I watched it, I was like, no, there was only one shuttle. There's no way. When I saw it the next time, there's totally two shuttles there.
Yeah.
The when Chewie gets kidnapped?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll walk through this. But we finally see the intro, the scene that the first scene we ever saw anything of Rise of Skywalker. That finally comes to fruition. Kylo's, which, can we talk about how amazing of a pilot Kylo has to be that close to the ground on a TIE fighter?
Yeah.
Pretty sure those things aren't made for that.
I think I remember talking about how, like, when we didn't know that it was him in the Whisper, like, we were like, whoever's driving or piloting this close to land and keeping it steady and aiming for a person, which we found out later, he's not really aiming for her, he's just kind of
flying at her.
Essentially. He's not trying to kill her, he's trying to win her over.
Yeah. But, like, he's trying to push her.
This is mating goal.
Yeah. It's gonna be like someone as skilled as like basically as a Skywalker, so.
Right.
It wasn't gonna be some Knight of Ren who barely did any.
I mean, it was a Skywalker, so.
Yeah, it was.
I'm gonna be honest. That scene would be way cooler if I didn't see it in the trailer.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think like there was such a build to it, and like what else was gonna happen, right? Other than her cutting the roof,
and then she lightnings it.
I think we talked about like when the Celebration trailer came out, like her jumping on it and then going off to go fight someone.
See, that would have been way cooler.
It would have.
I want to point out that like. That was a terrible crash, first of all, because the wing got cut off.
It was a brutal crash. It was brutal.
Yeah, how did that not blow?
Kylo walks out of it. Like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, like, Kylo survived his insane crash, and then the following week, Moff Gideon from Mando survives that other crash where his wing blew up. So I'm getting the feeling that either TIE Fighter, like, tech has been upgraded and, like, the armor's a lot better, or that these people are just insane characters that can survive.
You missed it.
From a TIE fighter.
The plot serves the story. If Kylo's not supposed to die, if Kylo's not supposed to die in a TIE fighter crash, his TIE fighter will never blow up.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel, you should know this. It's the same thing as like what I'm doing in our tabletop. Like, you know, you can do these really ridiculous things because it's important to the plot.
Just because you roll a nat 20, that's the only thing.
Okay, so he walked away from the crash, right? And he's like holding his helmet in his hand. I kind of wish he would have just had it on. It would have looked way cooler.
He's like, he swaggered out of the crash like he meant to do that.
He probably did mean to do that.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, you see that? I meant to do that.
That was cool. Oh man, the explosion didn't go off behind me like I was hoping.
Can we try that again?
Looking like Keanu Reeves out here. So she
and then we get the big like first act reveal.
Lightning. Okay.
Lightning.
I have two questions for this moment. and I don't know how long these discussions will last, but question one, did y'all really think Chewie was dead? Because I'm going to be honest, I was convinced.
The first time, absolutely.
I was like,
the second time you watched it, you were still convinced that he might
yeah, you got me. I was like, nah. When I saw him again in the ship, I'm like, that's a clone. That is Palpatine possessing a Chewbacca clone.
Some dark magic.
Yep.
I'll be honest. I my mouth was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Face was just, I was like, he's not gone. He can't be gone. He's gone.
It didn't seem right at first. I was like, there's no way. But I remember I kept leaning over to Steven. I said, is that really it? Is that really it? No way. No way. I was convinced.
The movie ends, right?
Written and directed by J.J. Abrams. Did you think he was dead, Steven?
Yes, I did. I did. I really did.
I just didn't
see how they could, like, trick us. You know what I mean? So I was just like, oh, crap.
Because I only saw the one transport. Yeah.
I think the fact that Rey did it was kind of bigger for me. I was
that was my first reaction.
I think that's why I believed it. Because she was the one that did it. I almost, like, part of me almost wishes they would have stuck with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I think what convinced me was that, like, she thought that she'd killed him. And then later on, she's able to feel him because he was on planet. But I'm under the belief that after she did the Force Lightning, like, the other shuttle had been off-planet by then, so that way she couldn't feel him.
Oh, that makes sense.
Either that or she's just so distressed that it's hard. You really have to concentrate to use Jedi powers.
That's true.
Back to the Knights of Ren for a moment. Why did they stay behind on a different transport? What did they end up doing?
Yeah, like I said, it was because the stormtroopers were like, "No, you guys, you can't come with us. We're real military. Like, here, have this other shuttle. You can take the big furry guy. We don't really care, but we're not hanging out with you anymore.
You don't have security clearance to get on this transport. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yep.
You guys are furries too, right? Why don't you guys take Chewie?
Yeah, right.
The Force Lightning was amazing. Super cool. I thought Kylo was going to be stuck there. So, bye. Because we didn't know about the transport.
I think as soon as I saw the Force Lightning, that's why I was doubting her allegiance a little bit. Did anyone start picturing, like, Dark Rey a little bit after that happened?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Without a doubt.
No, I mean, that was the first thing I thought when I saw her blow up that shuttle with Force Lightning. I'm like, okay, well, either she's a Sith secret agent who's had her memory wiped, which is just convoluted, or she's a Palpatine.
So you did for sure start getting vibes that she could be a Palpatine.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
See, I didn't see it coming at all the whole movie until it was revealed.
Huh.
What about you, Daniel? Did you? I feel like it's obvious now.
Now it is, but I saw that, and I was just like, no way, she's not a Sith. And I was like, it's only for Siths to use. And then I was like kind of thinking of like how Baby Yoda had used Force Heal, but... Like,
Force Choke as well.
Yeah, but also Force Choke. And I was like, Force Choke is only for Sith. And then I was kind of like, I had this whole like 5 minutes after that had happened. I was just kind of like back and forth in my head. I was just like, are Force powers only for specific Force sides? Or like,
They haven't been.
It's just been like the Jedi of old, like the Old Republic Jedi. They refrained from using those because using powers like that lead to the dark side. But if you're able to tap into anger or hate or any of those negative emotions, like you can totally, like if you're a Force user and you get pissed off enough, you can totally just choke someone.
Because I saw like someone I follow on Instagram like post about. Like how when Vader came to Jabba's palace, he was like, don't use mind tricks on me. And then Jabba says the whole like, or that Vader says like, mind tricks are for Jedi. And like, I'm not a Jedi, basically.
Then he starts force choking him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
And I see that more as like a philosophical difference. Like Vader is just so disgusted that anyone would think him a Jedi. Like, why would Vader ever need to use a mind trick when he can just get through what he wants through pure intimidation and power? That's what I took away from that comic.
Yeah.
cool, we're on Kijimi. Look at that. That short space ride. So we're on Kijimi now.
We're in the...
Kijimi.
We are introduced to Zori Bliss. Poe was a spice runner. Which apparently the way they talk about it in this movie is equivalent to like a cocaine dealer. Didn't realize it was that serious.
Jonathan and I had our tabletop group just like discuss spice a little bit.
We did.
We got into it, and it was just a really nice like moment to like tie into that. Like Ryan, do you? I spent like 10 minutes trying to talk to like Cindy about what spice was, and she was not as interested as I was. But I was just like, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep talking about spice, and it was just really crazy to talk about like the influence of like spice in the galaxy, and like. Thinking about how desperate you have to be to like become a spice runner, even after the fall of the Empire, and even after, like, it was such like a harmful substance. Like,
really?
Well, insane. And I mean, you could talk about even after the Empire, but I mean, if you look at the Mandalorian, like,
yeah,
the New Republic is terrifying too. Like, they'll just put you on a ship with a bunch of murder bots, and you know, good luck.
Dude, yeah, I don't know. It was a nice. It was nice to be able to like think about like, no way, Poe Dameron, spice runner, and then you got like freaking Finn just making fun of him, just like Poe Dameron, spice runner.
It's like, you know, you were a stormtrooper and you were a scavenger. Does anyone, I can do this all day. Like
I'm intrigued by the spice thing, and next time we get together, I definitely want to sit down and have you tell me all about it.
Dude, I'll sit down and write you like a 30-page essay about
a love song.
Like, I don't want to read about it. I want you to teach me.
Love song.
Fine, I'll make a PowerPoint.
But Zori Bliss.
Zori Bliss. I loved Zori Bliss.
One of the coolest characters of the show that has so little screen time.
They got a really big actress to play her for her doing nothing.
Right.
For her not even taking the mask off. Like, you see her eyes at one point.
Yeah, I thought she was definitely going to take it off in that scene.
I mean, I'm not really surprised considering they used Max von Skidvow for like one scene in The Force Awakens and killed him off immediately.
Was he the first scene, that guy?
Yep.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, the Church of the Force guy.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that a lot lately. Like, even Werner Herzog, who is in like 2 episodes of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Like, he's a huge actor, and then you get more of him than you get Zori Bliss, but it still isn't enough.
I think they're trying to pull some Game of Thrones stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I think. We get introduced to Zori Bliss, which is super cool. I like that moment between her and Poe where she's like, you know, just leave this behind and come with me. We'll escape. We'll leave. Like, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just me, but I definitely got the vibe that he wanted to go. He makes the comment.
I think he did.
He makes the comment. He's like, I can't leave because he can't, but he would rather go with her.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
I also begs the question, why isn't she left yet?
The plot convenience and the fact that the first order, like Kylo's starship is right above their planet.
But that's any time before that?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know how recently she got the thing.
I think she was waiting for Poe.
She just got it yesterday.
She might have just stolen it off a first order officer right before that scene, for all we know.
It made it sound like she's had it.
Maybe she got it from the Knights of Ren.
Maybe she is a Knight of Ren. Maybe she's the true leader of the Knights of Ren.
Cheerleader of a Knight of Ren.
The true leader, not the cheerleader.
That's what I said.
Okay, I know this is skipping a few points, but can we talk about my favorite character of the whole movie?
Hey!
Yeah! Babu Frick. Babu Frick is the best.
He really is.
Nice to meet you. My name Babu Frick.
We meet Babu Frick. We meet Babu Frick because C-3PO has the information to the Wayfinder in his head, but he can't.
He's got the Sith language in his head from the dagger.
Oh, speaking of this, before we go further into this point, can we talk about that line in the movie where like C-3PO is just walking and he goes, he's just like, yeah, it's a shame no one knows it and only resides in my head now.
Yeah, yep.
It's like, are you... I just want to see a supercut of all the 3PO lines in this movie.
I just think, honestly, like, that was 3PO's way of acknowledging that, yeah, I need to tell them that it's in their head, but I think he knew that they would try something as reckless as, like, a memory cache wipe. And he probably didn't want that.
And it's interesting that, like, right before Babu turns him off, he's like, I just thought of another way.
Yep.
And shuts down.
That is the other second question that we never get a good answer to. What was Finn gonna say to Rey, and what was C-3PO's other way?
I think it's pretty obvious what Finn was gonna say to Rey. Let's keep that till the end though, because I feel like that might be a
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, but the 3PO thing. Who knows?
I thought it was cool that he had all those prohibitions on, like, Sith runes and stuff. They brought up the Republic. Like, he mentions, like, oh, it's like a law. Like, you can't read these things. I can't talk about it.
Yeah, but like, Anakin made him on Tatooine.
Yes, but he did work as an interpreter droid for an Old Republic senator, then a New Republic senator. I'm sure someone upgraded his protocols. Like,
I kind of thought about what Steven, that Anakin had built him.
I thought about it too, but then I thought about where he's been and what he's done, and I'm like, there's no way no one gave him a software upgrade.
But like, so if anybody gave him a software upgrade that like puts rules in place, why do they have to go to some random little dude across the galaxy to like get somebody to undo it?
Because it's illegal. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter at this point.
That's the least of,
like,
anybody's concerns.
Yeah.
Don't you think
a plot hole in this movie, Steven? No.
I know.
They go to save Chewie. Unless you want to talk more about Bobby Frick, we can do that too. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more there is to say. He's just the best.
Oh, I get. We'll bring it up since it involves him. But when 3PO gets his mind, he's got his mind reset, and someone brings up Babu Frick. He said, oh, that's my oldest friend.
Like, I love that. I love that. Because that's the first thing Babu does after C-3PO is like, oh, hello, who are you people? And he goes, nice to meet you. My name Babu Frick. Like, just really polite. Like,
I think Baby Yoda would eat Babu Frick.
Oh, I think he'd try, but Babu Frick is just too polite. Like, he would just be like, let's go find you a frog, little dude. Like, come on.
By the way, I'll bring this up. Babu Frick was totally pointless in being in Zori Bliss's spaceship at the end.
But it was so good that he was there.
Oh, it was. Like, but it was, like, why? What's he going to do? Unless he's fixing the ship? I don't know.
Dude, he's a mechanic, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Daniel knows how important it is to have a mechanic.
And that seems really unsafe.
Babu on board?
No, there's no R2 on board to, like.
It was very reminiscent to the Porgs.
No, because Babu Frick is a mechanic. He's the only person in the galaxy who could have possibly done that to C-3PO. Like, he's got all that engineering and mechanics knowledge. It would be good to have
space engineering.
Yeah, like, he's not like a Porg at all.
No, I just meant in the spaceship scene, like when he's on the ship.
Yeah.
Not at all. He's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I love Babu.
Okay,
Frick.
Good. I thought we were gonna have a problem.
No,
here.
Don't get me wrong. I love Babu.
Okay.
He goes,
okay.
Hey, hey. Okay. It's great.
Hey.
I love it. What happened next? They go to save Chewie.
They go to the ship. Yeah.
Aboard Kylo Ren's Star Destroyer, and I don't know if I pointed this out on the last podcast with Steven, but, it's very interesting that Kylo Ren's quarters, because they specifically say it's his quarters, is just completely white and very clean.
Yeah.
It's a good representation, I guess, or, you know, I don't know what I'm looking for, what word I'm looking for there, but metaphor for just him in general, I guess.
I get the feeling he doesn't spend a lot of time there, though, beyond brooding over the Vader helmet. Like, I don't think we even see, like, a bed in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
I think, like, I got the feeling it was more like his little shrine to Vader, or part of his shrine to Vader.
Yeah, because it's very reminiscent of Vader's, like, meditation orb sphere thing.
Oh, the thing that closes off?
Yeah, that he goes into in Empire Strikes Back, where he takes his helmet off, yeah.
I just thought of it just because of, like, you know, the actual helmet being in there, mm-hmm. and just the fact that it doesn't seem like it's a very restful place. Like, I don't...
Yeah. I think someone should put that Vader helmet in a case. It seems very... Yeah.
It belongs in a museum, so...
Can we point out that, like, up until that point, all of his, like, life decisions had been led by Vader's helmet, and then the moment that it just falls on Pastana, or sorry, that it falls on Kijimi, everyone is just, like, he just, like, ignores it, and it probably just stays on Kijimi is what it seems.
Well, it stays on Kijimi until it gets blown up on Kijimi later in the movie.
Basically. So... He just, like, ignores it? Like, it's fine, it fell?
Yeah, it's like, whatever. I am grandfather now.
I am grandfather now. It's one of those... You almost think if it's one of those things, like... I think he needs it to help him, you know, stay... To be reminded of the dark side and stuff. And it being left there and getting blown up is almost good for him. And he knows that?
I think so, too, yeah.
You know what I mean? I guess...
Before the whole scene on the Star Destroyer, we get the only other time that Palpatine talks to Kylo in the whole movie, too.
I am blanking on
that's after Kijimi, sorry.
Yes, that's after. So we get Rey and Kylo force connecting and talking, and we get the lightsaber battle, like, through two different, through
yeah,
force
which is
connection.
Just... So cool.
I enjoyed that.
I like
it's
when
so trippy because stuff is like falling between two locations. And like, what is that?
The berries, they get spilled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up in his quarters.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
It's very cool because, like, they can't see each other's, like, backgrounds, only them, you know? And.
Yeah,
and you notice that because he doesn't know where she's at until the helmet falls through, and I like that whole like,
yep,
that's where you are, like very calm, like he's not like get a ship.
Well,
he's just like,
that's kind of a callback to The Last Jedi, where the first time that they connect, he's like, can you see around me? Because I can't see around you. Like he's very concerned about that.
Yeah,
that scene.
That's true. Yeah. And I was always under the impression she could see his background, but I guess not.
I would say not, yeah. Because if she could have, she would have just calmed Poe and Finn and just been like, he's on the planet, like, we need to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I
would have liked to have had, like, a first-person view of either of them, just, like, what it looked like fighting with them.
Ooh.
Like,
wait for the VR game background. Coming out next year.
Dude.
Vader and Mortal, it's gonna be Kylo and
Ooh.
Actually it can't be Kylo and Mortal anymore.
Kylo Mortal.
Kylo. Oh man, that hurts still.
It does, doesn't it?
Still a little too soon.
The whole shooting scene with Chewie and Poe and Finn through the hallway, I thought that was really well done and really cool. That stands out to me
Yes. I really enjoyed that.
Chewie using the First Order, like, blaster.
Yeah.
You know there's no recoil on that thing for him. He's just, like, playing with a toy gun, basically.
I think one thing that stood out to at least me and Cindy, like, we kept noticing, like, when Finn or... I think it was Finn mostly, like, when Finn or Poe would miss a shot.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, most of that hallway scene, it seems like they're, like, you know, pew, dead, pew, dead, pew, dead, mm-hmm. and, like, all the stormtroopers are obviously missing every single shot. But, like, those, like, little moments where they, like, stood out to me. I don't know if you mm-hmm. guys, like, caught every single of those. There's two shots that missed, basically.
Yeah, it was cool.
I think the thing that convinces me about this hallway scene, the last episode of Mando where those two stormtroopers are talking, and
mm-hmm.
they just have that shoot off with that can that's, like...
Oh, that was that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. I just watched that. Like I saw the memes that like came out after 5 minutes into the last episode and I already like a spin-off series with just these two stormtroopers.
One of those was
Jason Sudeikis.
Yep.
That's yes. I'm like, of course, it's great.
Was it really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. So yeah, the hallway scene's super cool. I like it's just good. It felt very Star. It's very reminiscent of A New Hope. I thought, you know, with everyone running through the halls and shooting up people and all that fun Star Wars stuff. They get ready to be executed. General Hux says, "I want to do it. Let me do it."
Yep, and I want to be the one that killed these rebel scum.
And we hear the blast.
And you get another cool little dialogue moment where Poe asks Finn again about what he was going to say to Rey earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And Poe's like, dude, I'm not going to tell you, basically.
I don't like that conversation.
I don't either.
It doesn't fit. Like, oh, we're about to get executed. Yeah. Oh, you're not going to tell me? No, now it's not a good time. Like, you're about to die. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that's what they're thinking of at that point, right? Like,
exactly, yeah. Right? Unless you know you're going to for sure get saved.
Yeah,
I can see just, like, Poe just, like, stalling for time, kind of, like, trying to make a distraction, if anything. Just because, like, when he gets captured by Kylo in Force Awakens, he's kind of, like, trying to talk his way out, but he's not going to talk his way out with Kylo.
Right.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, it was funny, but it just... I don't know. I mean, unless they knew Hux was the spy, then okay, but I don't know. Like, they didn't, clearly.
Apparently,
well,
we all
Poe
knew
did.
As soon as we watched that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what did you guys think of Hux being the spy?
Hated it.
And
I'm
okay.
Sorry, no. Like, I didn't hate it. I hated the execution of it.
Yes.
I think Tyler, I think you and I were the ones that pitched the whole idea of Hux being a spy. I'm still waiting on my Disney royalty money for that.
Yeah, actually, it was when we were both still at Kroger. I remember sitting on lunch talking about it. And
no, but I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on cast.
Like, oh.
I am 100% sure we've talked about it on cast.
I think
need
you're
some
right.
money right now.
I think you're right. So I will take a cease and desist order that actually has no legal repercussions so I can still frame it, and my royalties.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Those are my demands. Thank you.
Disney, Kathleen Kennedy, if you're listening, you can just give me the money. Tyler only wants the cease and desist order.
The frame. And a frame. Send a frame.
Yep. And the frame.
And the correct size, please.
Yep.
I don't want none of this. Oh, we'll send him a.
But yeah, I think we have extensively talked about Hux being the spy for the exact reasons that it happens in the movie. The reason I hate it is it's
too short,
an inconsequential minor thing, and then the character's dead.
Yeah. I agree.
Like,
why?
If anything, did you want him? I think I don't know if I asked this already. I might have asked separately already. Did you want him to end up joining the Resistance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because,
again, if for no other reason than all the sick jokes he could text to Kylo about, like, I'm with your mom, LOL. Like, totally just turns into Daniel.
Daniel is General Hux in the Resistance. Got it.
That's hilarious.
No, I don't think I would have liked Hux to join the Resistance, but him going off on his own afterwards, or even, like, killing General Pride, or trying to, during the whole Exegol battle would have been cool. Because at the end of the day, Hux wants to be in charge, and he'll never be in a position to be in charge.
Let me ask all three of you this. What if, like, at the end, if he would have survived and not being caught, kind of like Jonathan saying, there's just a scene where, like, he sneaks up behind General Pride and just, like, shoots him. Takes him on one-on-one, like in a blaster fight, or they
that,
both have, like...
A blaster fight during the Battle of Exegol, as maybe he gives, like, Finn his phone number, or whatever the analog would be, you know? And he's like, if you need help fighting, killing, defeating the First Order and getting Kylo Ren out of here, just let me know.
Call me, maybe.
And maybe during that whole fight, Finn's like, hey, can you do anything? And he's like, oh yeah, I got you, man. Like,
sorry,
and he starts,
phone.
Like,
who
a fire,
is?
He's... He starts, like, a firefight with Pride, and he's like, this is my ship, and that's his whole thing. Like, he wants the ship.
What if they use the electro staff batons?
Oh, that would be cool.
The traitor ones, and then they fight like that?
Yeah.
But, like, not as dumb as it was with Phasma, which right. we haven't even talked about Phasma and how...
What is there to talk about
Who's
Phasma?
Phasma?
Phasma's dead, dude. I don't know who this
yeah,
Phasma
dude.
Is.
She got put in a trash compactor last I saw her. That's the last.
I think her body's just floating around out in space somewhere.
Yeah, never saw her again. I mean, you're right. He just wants to be in charge, General Hux. And thinking of it that way, it makes sense that he didn't go with them. But just from I guess I was thinking of it more from like an escape plan. Like he should have gone with them to get away, even if he wasn't going to join.
Now here's a question.
They could have had him be the one that like shuts down the, the tracking stuff though.
Ooh,
right?
That would have been cool.
Dang.
Uh huh.
That would have been like a plot point for him that would have been pretty cool. I think.
Yeah. Now here's a theoretical question: do you think if Finn would have shot him in the arm or the shoulder or wherever he asked him, do you think that would have changed things?
Hmm.
Like. He's pretty specific. He's like, hey, man, you got to shoot me here. And Finn's like, no, I'm shooting the kneecap. And it's like, it's played off for a laugh. But like if he was shot in the arm or the shoulder, like on the front, that seems like it'd be like a shot that would come through in battle. But if you're shot in the leg, that to me, that looks like you're running away.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if that's, I mean, clearly Pride knew that he was a traitor, but.
Why didn't he just shoot General Pride in the back when he walked up to him?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Finn didn't trust him still.
I don't think
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he didn't.
And he was just like, I'm going to shoot him in the leg so he can't run and, like, tell people what I'm
mm-hmm.
Instead of shooting him in the arm, like, he just asked me to do this guy that I've hated most of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah,
I liked it.
The way it was handled.
And when I saw it, I was so mad because I went back to the conversation between you and I, Jonathan, and I remember like when we were talking about it a long time ago, saying, I hope this doesn't happen because then we would have called it and it's not surprising. And then I totally forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mad I forgot about it. My only issue I had with it, I loved it. I think it made sense, was... It was too reminiscent of the Agent Callus thing from Rebels. Spoilers for
yeah.
Rebels, if anyone's listening, I'm sorry. But it was too... Because I think
yeah,
that was...
I didn't think about that.
It was, that was one of the best storylines, I think, in Rebels, personally.
Right, yeah.
I agree. It was just exactly that storyline, wasn't it?
Yep.
Pretty much. I mean, other than the fact that he doesn't care who wins, and I think that might be why they put that line in, partly.
Yeah,
like this isn't that storyline.
Well, and it's totally different motivation. I mean, Hux just wants to see Kylo lose. Callus actually becomes invested in the rebellion and helping people.
It would have been cool, and it wouldn't have worked for the whole Hux motivation part, like you had just brought up. But like, had they called him Fulcrum,
that would have been really interesting. Yeah. I would have liked to see that.
That would have been cool.
I think for my part, I was disappointed at how quickly it was, but I think. They wanted to put all their hopes into the wrong character because I think they wanted to like build up more of General Pride's background. Like he's strategic, he knows mm-hmm. what's going on in his ship, but they got rid of a character that has been in literally the beginning of both movies, the last previous movie, and just eliminated him to make another character have more of a background.
I think it would have been way more interesting had General Pride been the guy in the dreadnought at the beginning of The Last Jedi and he would have escaped.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would have liked that.
Like then we would have seen him before. We knew that he was a deal. As it is, he just kind of comes out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, he's a senior ranking First Order general. Like, okay. I've never
yeah,
seen
like,
this
why
guy
didn't
before.
We see him before that?
Right.
If he's so important and whatnot.
Maybe he's one of the Knights of Ren.
You know, that's a good idea, actually. He probably is.
That's a good take.
I think that's a good stopping point for us for this episode. Next episode, we will come back. This is where stuff picks mm-hmm. up. We find out who Rey is. We find out more about the Death Star wreckage on the Endor planet.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Ahch-To. We go back to Exegol. Everything comes to a head. The finality of this 42-year saga, the Skywalker saga. And we'll talk about how it ends, how we feel about it, and... if we're satisfied.
And how it affects the rest of our lives.
And how it affects...
as we grow into adults and grow into having flourish. Families and how we affect them because of one movie and how it changed us.
That was pretty profound, Daniel.
I was.
Funny words, was. But true to the heart. Okay, well, thanks for listening to this episode. Tune in to part 3, where Rick is going to get juicy.
What was that? What was that, Tyler?
That was Tyler's been doing this for too long and doesn't know what to say.
Let's get juicy!
You're back on the Carbonite crew and it's juicy.
No, it's juicy.
Oh man.
Does this mean we're done?
Yep.
It does.
Should we do a sign off for that?
A real one? A real one? Okay.
Our sign off.
Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for episode 3. Part 3 I should say, of this discussion. And until next time, may the force
be with you.
Always.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, bye, guys. See you later.